You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We are finishing our first part of our series called The Grand Commission on Matthew 28. And I just want to summarize two things and to finish it with a perspective of what we're talking about and why we're talking about Matthew 28, why going. And I want to read together with you one of the most famous Bible verses, possibly one of the most famous stories in the Bible, that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. So I would like to invite you to open your Bible in Luke chapter 10, if you can, please. I'm going to read from the verse 25. So Luke 10, verse 25 on. And it says like this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test the teacher. He already starts saying that the person who came to talk to Jesus was not a singular normal person, was someone who, with a huge knowledge of the Word of God, and he came to test Jesus. He already came with the best intentions. And he started with a really good way to talk. He comes to Jesus and says, I came to test you, teacher. Can you imagine a student that knows the answer, raising up their hands in class and saying, teacher, how much is 1 + 1? Knowing the answer. So this person comes, an expert of the law, he comes to Jesus and he says, teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus replies with two questions that they seem the same, but they are actually not. And he says, first he says, what is written in the law? And then he says again, how do you read it? And that's interesting to see Jesus making two questions because they seem the same. It seems that Jesus was just emphasizing. But Jesus comes to that man and he first says, what is written? And how do you read what is written? There are different perspectives on the questions that Jesus was making. So he says what is written. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is what is written. But that's not what he was reading. Because it comes to a second point where Jesus says, because he wanted to justify himself, so he asked again, and who is my neighbor? There is a problem because the man was reading something that was written, but he was not properly reading what was written. Because he wanted to know, justify himself, okay, who is my neighbor? I need to love, but who do I need to love? What are the excuses I have for loving someone? What are the permissions I have to say, well, that person doesn't deserve, I'm not going to love that person. So who is my neighbor? Who should I love? And Jesus comes talking and he starts saying, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him all of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, someone who was involved on the worship, leading, responsible for the worship by itself. So a Levite, that's the Old Testament, when he came to the place and saw him, also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and took care of his wounds, pouring oil and wine on him. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out two silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him, said, and when I return, I will pay you back for any extra expenses you had with that man. So Jesus asked, which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do the same. Father, please talk to us. Allow us to know a little bit more about your heart. We need it. We need to understand how do you think, how do you work, because we don't want to do anything without understanding the purpose of your heart. Help us to understand a little bit more about you this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is an interesting Bible verse because pretty much it explains itself. It's just a story. Someone was walking, going down, someone from going from Jerusalem to Jericho, got in trouble. People went over there, stole everything, beat him, left him half dead. So far, so good, easy peasy, not difficult to understand. Then, someone who was a priest came down, and I read this story since I was a kid. I grew up inside the church, and commonly, we judge everything on the situation. The Bible doesn't say why he didn't stop. The Bible doesn't say he was mean and didn't stop. The Bible doesn't say he didn't want to stop. The Bible doesn't say the purpose he didn't stop. The Bible just says that a priest didn't stop. So, and went to the other side. And say after as well about the Levite. Doesn't say why the Levite didn't stop. Doesn't say if the Levite had a wife giving birth and he could not stop. Doesn't say why the Levite took to the other side. Maybe it was because he didn't want. Maybe he needed to go to the toilet. Maybe he wasn't... I don't know, but doesn't say specifically why these two men didn't stop. But it's interesting that these two men didn't stop. It doesn't say where they were from necessarily. These two men, they were recognized over here by what they could do, by their job. So for me, when I'm reading this, we need to understand what God, what Jesus was trying to teach that man, and what God was, and what Jesus is trying to teach us. Because over here it tells a story that a man was left half dead on the floor, and there's three men who walked by him. Two of them were recognized by the things they could do in their life, by their actions, by their jobs, by the service of their hands. And the other one who was not recognized by the serve of his hands, that's the one who stopped to do something, to redeem that man. And you know what I believe that Jesus wants to reveal to us? The heart of everything he does. Because we need to understand as a church that what will go outside, what will make us redeem people, is not what we do. We constantly think that I will go outside and I'll preach to someone and I will do something. And because I am doing something, I am redeeming that person. Because I am doing an action, I am redeeming that person. And we can have the best intentions. We can go and preach to a prostitute. We can go to a priest and preach to someone who is using drugs. And we want to solve that problem. We want to do something with all our heart, with all the best intention, because we want to solve a problem. But Jesus comes in this story and he says, pay attention. Two people who were known by things they could do, by their action, didn't stop to solve a problem. The only person in this story that stopped and redeemed the man was someone not known by his actions, but someone known by the place he came from. The Samaritan. Someone not acceptable by the Jews, by the Hebrews, by anyone in the past. They didn't get along together. God is calling us to understand something this morning that is the heart of everything we do. We don't do church. We don't do worship. We don't do anything. We don't serve. And by what we do, that's the instrument of redeeming people. I don't relate to someone. I don't go to John Crowe. We do mentoring in John Crowe every week. I don't go over there because by the actions of my hands, I'll be able finally to solve situations over there. I'm walking every week to that school because I understood one day that's not what I can do. The only thing that can solve someone's problem is the love. Love is anything, is the relationship that is the only thing why we move. Let me ask you something. Why do we go? Why do we go? We have a work in Mozambique. We have raised a few money to help a family that needed a house a couple of a month ago, and we sent some money to restore the house over there. Let me ask you something. Why do we go to Mozambique? Why do we go to? Why do we come to church? Why do we go to solve a problem? Why do we go to Mozambique? Because there's a need over there. But let me ask you something. If there was no need, if there was no one in hunger in Mozambique, if there was no one needing anything in Mozambique, would we go? Would we still want to be together if there was nothing to be solved? If there was nothing to do? I'll tell you something. I love this gentleman over here, although he tells not to get closer because of the microphone. And I don't want at all to spend time with him to solve problems. I like to spend time with my friend Martin because I just want to be together. If there is need, we're gonna solve. But I don't want to relate to Martin because there is something for us to do. I don't want to go and have a meal with him because there is something on the agenda to do. I like to be with him because he's my brother. And just because he's my brother, I want to be with him. And on the relationship, we spend time together. By being together, we solve the problems when they appear. It's two men, the priest and the Levite. They didn't stop for one simple thing. God needs to teach us that we don't get together anywhere. We don't do anything. And the result of our actions will solve problems. You know what will bless the place you work? The day you love the place you work. The day you love the people you work with. Because the day you love the people you work with, even on those days when you feel, there's nothing for me to do. There's no action. There's no way I can serve them with my hands that day. Even when you don't have all the money, all the resource, that you need some extra day to go back and pay it. Because that day you didn't have all the money you needed. And then you have to say, if you spend some more, I'll return and I'll pay you back. Because today, right now, I don't have everything you need. Even in those days, you're going to find, you're going to be able to work redemption on people's life. And I want to finish by quoting something that is in the book of John. Because that's the heart of what we do. Do you know why we go? We are planning a lunch next week. Yes, it's going to be good. You know why I want to get lunch with them? I'm going to give you, if you allow me, as an example. It's because they're my brother and my sister that we just met. But do you know why? Because nothing that I don't need to do anything for them to become my brother and my sister. Because when we have the understanding and revelation of what Jesus did and how much he loves us, we can spend time together discovering how much we were already brothers and sisters. There's nothing I need to do. I don't need to do anything for Lynette to become my sister. I don't need to make the effort to turn you my sister. Because from the day I met you, we discovered that we were a family because of what God did. And now we can spend our days. That's why we go, because it's not what we can do, but it's part of who we are. We go because it's on our DNA. It's part of what we are. We don't go to John Crow. I don't go to John Crow to turn people over there, my brothers and sisters. I go over there because I know that there are my brothers and sisters. And I need to reveal to them who they are. I'm telling you something, I'm going to give you a testimony. When we started at John Crow, I wanted to get involved on assemblies. And they said, sorry, assemblies, no, because we don't want Christians getting involved in assemblies. We are not a Christian school and everything. I said, okay, no problem. So I'll be just on the mentoring. Do you know what is happening nowadays after 2 years or 3 years of mentoring? I am so humble about that. Because I know it's by the grace of God. Last week I left over there crying because there is one kid that the school is asking my advice on what to do with that kid. And the actions that they are doing with that kid is the action of a Christian. Someone who loves them so much. And I'm not trying to turn anyone Christian over there. That's not my job. My heart, my job is just to love them. Because they are my brothers and sisters. Some of them will discover one day that they are brothers and sisters. But it's not about for me to. And to finish, let me tell you something. John chapter 4. Tells something really simple. We need to change our perspective. Because the two men were recognized by what they did. Maybe they felt that they were not ready. Maybe there was no resources. Maybe there was not the time. And in John chapter 4, the disciples, they went, we had the story of the woman from the Samaritan woman. Again, the Samaritans on the story. And the Samaritan woman was on the wheel with Jesus. The disciples, they were in the city buying some food. Then when they return, they find amazing that Jesus was talking to the Samaritan. How does he do that? She asked Jesus, why you are talking to Samaritan? Don't you know that your people doesn't get along with my people? You don't talk to me. And they were amazed because Jesus was talking to a Samaritan. And the woman returned to the city. She started to preach. She saved the entire city where the disciples were. The disciples were in a city and they did nothing. And the one woman went over there and she got the entire city for Jesus where the disciples were before, because they didn't understand the purpose. They didn't understand the heart of everything that Jesus did. And Jesus talking to the disciples, he says like this, don't you say that the harvest is still in 4 months ahead? So, on the verse 35, it says, do you not say 4 months more and the harvest, and then the harvest is here? Yeah? Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I'll tell you something. Open your eyes and see. Fields, because the harvest is here. Do you know what my heart for you, for us this morning it is, for us to be finishing? Everything you need, you already have. You don't miss, you don't lack anything. The disciples, they were returning from the city And Jesus was saying, don't you say over there that there's still 4 months for the harvest. Everyone's saying it's incomplete. Everyone's saying it's not ready. Everyone's saying is there's nothing to do. Everyone's saying we are still incomplete. Let me tell you something. You are complete enough to go. There's nothing you miss. There's nothing missing. There's nothing missing. You are blessed. I don't know how many days of Christians do you have, of being a Christian you have. Maybe you have one day being Christian. Maybe you have 50 days being a Christian. Maybe you have 50 years being a Christian. Maybe you were born in a Christian family. Let me tell you something. There's nothing still missing. Elena, she has a glimpse only of the revelation of Christ. She doesn't understand. And she had the allergy this week. And we prayed, and the allergy disappeared. And when she saw her feet, she said, Mommy, Jesus healed. I'm so happy with Jesus. He lives in my heart. Someone who is 3 years old is complete to testify about Jesus with the experience she has. So you are going for your training. You are going for, you are complete. There's nothing missing still. All the things that God called you to do are already in your hands. And if there's any need for something extra, God will give it. But you are ready. You know why we go? Because that's who we are. And that's because we are ready for it. You know why you bless the place you work? One day I was praying to have a Christian in my school. And God said, there is one. And I was asking, God, please send Christians to my school. And Jesus replied, I already did. And I never prayed again. That with the same heart. Of course, we always want more Christians. But I understood that my class, in my school, there was already a Christian. But Jesus already sent one. That was me. You realize your work has a Christian. You realize your family has a Christian. That God sent your family a Christian. A Christian that is not incomplete. God sent your family a complete Christian that can serve your family not by the things you can do, by the love, but by the love you can love them. And in the days where it feels there's nothing for me to do, it's still on those days you're going to serve them with the best you have because you're going to serve them by the relationship you have with them. How powerful it is. How powerful it is by the fact that we don't get along together because the things I can do for Aniko or for Leila. We relate together because we found beauty on the relationship. Now go. Now go and make disciples. Don't go and be the boss of them. Usually we connect and we say, yes, I'm going to go and I'm going to have people to obey me. I'm going to go and I'm going to make, no, go and reveal to your brothers and sisters that they don't know yet that they are brothers and sisters, that they actually are. How? I'll give you one example on how we do that to finish. I'll ask my friend David to come over here. Let's pretend that my friend David. Yeah, I'll call David because it's, let's say David is someone just starting to walk with Jesus. Okay? And you're going to try to always go this side, okay? You're going to walk, but you always try to go over there. Okay?
Okay.
Just this, okay? So you're walking. Hello, David. Yeah, no, let me tell you something. Let's have a coffee. And how are you? Oh, so I know you support a terrible football team, but you know there's other team that is better than yours. Yes. By the way, he's my best man, okay? I'm his best man. So yeah. That's why we tease each other. So do you know, finally we got into a place where I knew I was going. And he wasn't, thank you. I knew where I was going to. I know I'm going to the Father. I know I'm going to Jesus. My effort is not to come. Davi, go to Jesus. You need to go there. It's not my responsibility if he needs to go to Jesus or not. I don't turn people to Jesus. If I'm doing that, people are just fulfilling my intentions, and that's selfish. Although I want him to go to Jesus, if I'm doing that on purpose, I'm just fulfilling my intentions, and that's my interest, my being selfish. But let me tell you something. If we spend time on the relationship together, and I know I'm going to Jesus, and I am the effort of him walking with me, when he realized he got to the same place where I was with Jesus, my job is to make my friend walk with me. And one day, the revelation, if God wants so, he realized, oh, I'm here with Jesus. Father, we want to go, but not because there is a need. We want to go to the towns, to the cities, to the nations. We want to go to our neighbors, to our work, but not motivated by something, just by what we can do. We want to be motivated by love. We want to love. We want to invest in the relationship. We want to spend time together. Because we believe that that's a place you reveal your presence. That's a place where religion makes no sense, but love of the Father makes all the sense. We want to spend time redeeming people. We don't want to resolve just their problems, because we're going to find places and situations that will be impossible to reveal, to solve. So many of us are facing situations that there's nothing for us to do. But it's still on those days when there's nothing for us to do, in our families, in our work, we still can love them with all our heart. And we still can redeem people's life, even in those days when there's nothing we can do. Because by spending time together, you pour out life forevermore. So help us to understand that it's time to lift up our eyes and see that we are ready. And we go because we are ready. We go because we are complete. We go because there's nothing missing. We go because it's not four times ahead to be ready. We go because this is the day that the Lord has made. And I am ready right now to go. I am already ready to be a blessing in people's life, because I have everything I need for it. I was already blessed with all the blessings to go and reveal my brothers and sisters who doesn't know yet that they are, that actually they are my brothers and sisters. They are part of a family. So release this church to go and make disciples of all nations. In the name of Jesus, amen.